Hey folks, here are OS Reviews. You're watching our retro unboxing of the HTC Evo View 4G. This is the Sprint version of the HTC Flyer, and that's the first tablet that HTC, the Taiwanese manufacturer, ever released. Back then, it sold for a hefty $400 for the 16GB model with a 2-year service agreement, so it's quite expensive considering that's a 7-inch tablet as opposed to 9.7 inches or 10 inches, and compared to things like the Apple iPad or more expensive Android models at the time, this thing definitely seemed overpriced. With that being said, HTC brought their beautiful construction quality here with an all-aluminum design. In addition, this product had a unique digitizer pen, which could be picked up for about $80 online, and it uses the Intrig technology. It's comparable to Wacom, it's pressure sensitive, which makes it suitable for note-taking as well as for graphic artists that might want to draw or doodle on the go. So this is what the packaging looks like, and back then, again, you could use this with 4G as well as, of course, Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, and it came with, again, 16 or 32 gigabyte versions, and the Sprint version of the HTC Evo 4G came in a black color as opposed to the white found on the Flyer, which was the unlocked variant. Otherwise, you can see on the back there's some basic specs about what's included in here as well as some features. It does have Adobe Flash built into the web browser, which was unique, and there's also a front and rear facing cameras. The rear one is 5 megapixels. The HTC View 4G also only ran on Android 2.3 Gingerbread at the time, so that was a little disappointing as well. It had a single core Snapdragon 1.5 GHz processor, so again, not the fastest thing in the world, and it came with 1GB of DDR2 RAM. All the standard connectivity options are on board, and again, it basically looks like an oversized HTC phone. We'll take a closer look at the design in a moment. Down below here, there was access to a set of accessories, inclusive of... Interestingly enough, HTC opted for almost a semi-proprietary charging port. It's also used for syncing. You can see here that it's not exactly the same as a micro USB or mini USB, which HTC used to use, but it has this rather peculiar boxy design that makes it difficult to stick in a regular micro USB cable. So the best option was just to use provided cable, but again, it's non-standard, which was unfortunate. The cable length, though, was pretty good, and you can get a pretty fast charge on this thing, about 2 hours to completely charge it. And there's also the aforementioned cable that's provided once more for syncing with a computer, Mac or PC. There's also a series of Get Started guides that tells you how to set things up, how to use the tablet, how to set up the 4G LTE services, so on and so forth. So this is what the tablet itself looked like. You can see it's a huge fingerprint magnet on the front, despite the fact that we just wiped it off a few seconds ago. The front does feature that 1.3 megapixel camera for Skype calls and video conferencing apps. You have the HTC logo on the side there. And what's kind of unique about this tablet is the fact that there are two sets of on-screen controls, or I should say off-screen controls, capacitive controls, for home, menu, and back. And depending on the orientation of the tablet, they switch back and forth, which is kind of a unique feature to have. Down below here, it's very dim, but there's also the pen icon, which will glow red once it detects the optional stylus that you might want to pick up and add the functionality of the tablet as a whole. You can see from the sides here, this also isn't the thinnest tablet, nor is it the lightest. In fact, it's about a pound, which is quite hefty for such a small tablet in general. It's about a phablet in size. But the thing is, because of the all-aluminum shell and the construction quality here, it's going to be, again, a bit heftier than you expect. There's access to a 3.5mm headphone jack, a power on-off switch, as well as dedicated volume controls on the sides. They're all very tactile. There are noise-canceling microphones as well. The bottom features the aforementioned kind of semi-proprietary charging port there. And the very back features the aforementioned autofocus-enabled 5.0 megapixel camera, along with the HTC logo and the Sprint logo. And there's stereo speakers in the back. They're not front-facing, but at the same time, they're quite rich and loud, which is nice to see. Behind this rubber flap, you could actually remove it to access an optional microSD expansion slot that supports up to 64 gigabytes of additional onboard storage, which is pretty nice. So, you know, from a design perspective, this was definitely a unique looking tablet, I'd say, and it had a pretty classy overall look as well. As far as the features are concerned, again, we have a pretty stock 2.2 install with HTC Sense on top, kind of typical at the time from HTC phones that we saw. What was curious was HTC didn't want to wait for Honeycomb 3.0, which was more optimized for tablets, and instead they went for this mobile platform. So again, one of the reasons why it wasn't the best value in the world, despite offering a very great construction quality. So again, this is what some of the apps that came with looked like, and you had this fancy animation in 3D that draws across. Dragging down the shade here gives you a bit more info about quick settings on the right, and on the left you have access to your commonly used apps as well as notifications, so you see a bit more content than just on a phone. Down below here you have some paint apps for the pen, you have some watching apps for streaming services, a reader app for using this as an ebook reader, there are free titles preloaded, as well as a note-taking app that tells you to sync with some other services on the market. And to access all the apps, there's a grid icon on the side, so very typical if you used an HTC phone back then, you'll definitely know what's going on here. And there's Polaris Office, Quick Video, YouTube, Sprint Radio, these services are preloaded, so there's a little bit of bloatware going on, but not too bad either. So as far as a 1.5 gigahertz single core processor is concerned, it does seem rather snappy and responsive, although if you multitask a lot and you open up multiple applications, it's going to slow down significantly. So anyways, this has been a retro unboxing of the HTC Evo 4G or the HTC Flyer. We're going to come back with a retro review as well shortly, so be sure to stay tuned for that. Thanks for watching this video here at OS Reviews.